Well, it's that time again. Yes, it is indeed. We've missed our little theme, but here it is again.
Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop.
Boom, boom, boom.
The Jelly Bean Lady is here joining us again, once again tonight, Loretta Marin. You've been barreling right through, haven't you, in the last few weeks?
I certainly have.
Yes, I've been hearing bits and pieces about you, doing all sorts of wonderful things.
And I'm sure it was all good stuff, wasn't it?
It was all good stuff, Loretta Marin, yes indeed. And we know we've got a special guest on tonight, but normally we take a bit of a theme, but overall, if we can encapsulate what we do here, you, as somebody asked me again during the week, they said, tell us about Loretta again. I say, well, and I basically try and tell your story that your background is essentially not a medical background, although you're double degreed, but you're essentially in the business of looking at medical solutions, and there are a lot of solutions out there that need to be questioned.
That's exactly right. My background is physics and psychology with a bit of advertising thrown in, but I might mention something that was pretty exciting that happened this week, Tony. You've heard of Dr. Ingrid Tall, of course, a local personality.
Yes.
She has a show on Tuesday and Friday called Your Health. And last December I was taped rattling my jelly beans and talking about, I think, shark cartilage and cancer cures. And that aired twice this week, so we've been having a good time.
That's good.
Yes.
Is she listening to us, Dr. Tall? She used to be on here a fair bit, Dr. Tall, wasn't she?
I'm sure she listens every night, Tony.
Every Saturday night. And so you went on and then rattled your jelly beans.
That's right.
And we often, a lot of people, of course, have various things that they take. We do form habits over the years of certain things that we take that we think will probably help us, you know.
All right, and that's where the jelly beans come in, because 30 to 50% of every disease and health condition can be cured by placebo, but as proven by thousands of clinical trials all over the world. So that is something quite important, and it's a physiological effect. They can see that people that take a drug get drug plus placebo, but say patients with Alzheimer's only get the drug, so they have to understand placebo quite well, but you shouldn't be exploited by it.
So when people listen to this segment, and you know that we've had, we get emails from all around the world all the time, people saying it's very unusual to have a program whereby you talk about something that's not negative, but some people sometimes perceive it that way. They say, well, look, I'm taking these things and I feel, this placebo effect, I feel better for it. But what's your axe to grind then?
Well, like with magnetic therapy, you know, that's where I actually started, with a magnetic underlay. And while you were away, Tony, the British Medical Journal came up with a report saying that lots and lots of claims, but there's absolutely nothing in it. And I'd like to point out that the magnets in them cost about 2 cents. So $5 about worth of magnets you're getting, and a lot of placebo, and that's about it with it. So, I mean, the scientists are now coming out to talk about magnetism, and they're also coming out to talk about quack cancer cures as well.
That's sort of where we're going to go tonight, isn't it, with our quack cancer cures?
Oh, yes, I'm delighted. We have a very interesting guest, a very knowledgeable person. I'd just like to point out that for the last 15 years, the cancer cures have increased by 1%. So that's life expectancy has increased by 1%. Now, I was told when I was diagnosed as cancer, as you know, I'm a breast cancer survivor, that I had a 90% chance of survival. I thought that was pretty good. But I looked at all cancers, and it's seeing that every year, with the good work that Professor Lowenthal and his team does, and with education, more people, that's equates to about 4,000 extra people a year are surviving cancer. And I think that, and that's doing it the orthodox way, not with the weird and wacky things.
Well, we want to talk to Professor Ray Lowenthal. Now, I'll tell you what he is. MD, FRCP, FRACP, FACHPM, Director of Medical Oncology, the Royal Hobart Hospital, Clinical Professor, University of Tasmania. He should know what he's talking about, shouldn't he?
I think so. I think he's a bit of a hero in my eyes.
All right, we'll come back and talk about oncology after this.
Oh,
14 minutes to 8 here with the Jelly Bean Lady, who's a regular guest on our program, Loretta Maron. Loretta, let's meet your special guest tonight then. Would you like to introduce the Professor?
Hello, Professor Ray Lowenthal. I'd like to introduce you to the people of Brisbane.
Hello, Loretta. Hello, Tony.
Good on you, Professor. Thanks for joining us. Well, we're delighted you're able to spend a bit of time for us. We wanted to talk about the so-called natural pills and the potions and the treatments that we hear a lot about. There's an awful lot out there, and you can understand, of course, anyone with cancer, I suppose, turning in all sorts of directions. But is that wise?
Well, you can understand up to a point, as Loretta said before you had the break, the treatment of cancer has improved a lot in the last 20 to 30 years, and now there's quite a number of forms of cancer that can be completely cured. Of course, unfortunately, that's not the case for every cancer. But the saddest thing is when we see people who have potentially curable cancers who reject the orthodox treatment.
That means they're able to steer clear totally of someone like yourself.
Yes. Well, of course, fortunately, I don't think that happens very often these days, but it still does happen. I've got in my memory a couple of very sad cases where people have done just that. One of a young girl, 22 years old, I think she was, who was persuaded by her father actually to reject our treatment, and who had a condition called lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which these days can be cured in well over half the cases. Now, that's the exception. I mean, more usually people think they're hedging their bets by perhaps going along with some forms of alternative treatment along with orthodox treatment, and that can be okay provided they are just doing something that may be harmless, but not all these so-called alternative or complementary treatments are harmless.
Well, let's look at a couple of them. Coffee enemas, for instance, are they harmless?
No, they're not harmless. First of all, it's a very strange way to take in coffee. but in fact, the people who recommend it often say that you're not allowed to drink coffee, which I find particularly strange. But no, there are cases on record where people have upset the mineral content, the electrolytes in the blood through using coffee enemas. And at any rate, enemas in people who have an impaired immune system, as many people with cancer have, run the risk of introducing germs into the bloodstream, so it's potentially dangerous treatment. And it's, of course, of no benefit. It's completely useless.
Mm.
Well, Helen Presides, a journalist, wrote for the Reader's Digest about going to 25 different naturopaths and virtually getting 20 different diagnoses, including lung cancer, breast cancer, parasites, of course, and all that. And we invited a naturopath to our breast cancer group. And she seemed to say everything negative about doctors. She said they're just glorified salesmen, you don't take any advice from them. This seems to be quite a serious problem. As a cancer patient myself, I don't like to hear things like that. I'm very fortunate that I've got a fantastic oncologist and surgeon, but people are very vulnerable when they've got cancer.
They are, and one of the worst examples of misinformation around are people who talk about conspiracy theories and claim that the medical profession and the pharmaceutical companies are in cahoots to deny the general public knowledge that already exists. This is what they claim, that we already know the cure for cancer, but we're not telling the general public so that we can increase our profits, I mean, which I find a staggering kind of claim to make, and it doesn't actually take very, very long to see through that, because as doctors get cancer themselves, their families get cancer, members of their families get cancer, as if we would deny treatment to our family members for the sake of some profit. I mean, it's a completely stupid thing to say, but unfortunately, as you say, people who have cancer or other serious illness, not just cancer, are often very vulnerable and sometimes can be taken in by this kind of talk.
We're talking to Professor Ray Lowenthal in Hobart. What about people that come to you and say, look, have you got an open mind? What about the high-dose vitamin C or the oxygen or some other things? You know, I mean, have you got an open mind? Some people seem to think that maybe oncologists don't. And you say, no, I don't want to hear about any of that. You're here to just in my department.
Well, an open mind is not the same as an empty mind. I mean, of course one's open to all sorts of ideas and anything that has some evidence in favour of it, of course we're going to listen to. But you spoke about a number of things. You spoke about vitamin C. Now, the various so-called cures that are touted for cancer by unorthodox cures mostly haven't been tested at all. And so we don't really know whether they work or not, but there are a few of the more prominent ones which have undergone thorough testing. One is vitamin C, which has been very thoroughly, or high-dose vitamin C, has been very thoroughly tested by the Mayo Clinic in America, the American National Cancer Institute and other centres, and it's shown to be useless. So that's one where we do know it doesn't work. The trouble is that there are so many of these that for most of them there just isn't evidence one way or the other.
Former Premier Jim Bacon, you were his oncologist. When it was released that he had cancer, apparently he was inundated with all sorts of calls and solutions to solve the problem.
That's right. He was swamped really with hundreds of letters of so-called miracle cures of one kind or another. I mean, some of them were not too bad. I mean, some people have suggested vitamins. Well, I don't mind if people take extra vitamins. It's at least harmless. There are a few sensible suggestions about eating proper diets, and so long as people realise that's good for you generally, but not going to cure cancer in itself, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good idea. But on the other hand, at the other end, there were some things that were suggested that were completely crackpot and wacky, like a blood zapper and magnetic pulser or aura therapy and energy cleaner, colloidal silver. So some of the things are sort of right off the planet, really. So they range from things where there is some evidence of benefit to things that are completely wacky.
And he, at the end of the day, he said, "I've been an idiot." He was a pretty heavy smoker, wasn't he?
Oh yes, he was. I mean, I'm not giving anything away that isn't already public knowledge. He had been a smoker, and when he got lung cancer, he publicly announced it, and he famously said on television, "I've been an idiot for not heeding advice to quit."
In your experience, and the people that you're dealing with at your level, is there any sort of a pattern that's emerging? That is to say, can you give us some advice generally in terms of, obviously not smoking, but in terms of general prevention, maybe? Anything showing up at all that's steering us toward some cancerous growths in our systems?
Well, to prevent cancer, well, in terms of prevention, the single most important thing, as you say, is not to smoke. That is undoubtedly the single thing in our community that is the most preventable cause of cancer. Now, otherwise, there's no doubt that eating a good diet, which includes lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, reduces the risk. But beyond that, there's not a great deal more that we can say. But there's a lot that can be done in terms of early diagnosis these days. Women, for example, need to have mammograms regularly and cervical smears. Very soon, there's going to be general introduction throughout Australia of screening for bowel cancer, which has been shown to be very effective in saving lives. So there's quite a lot of things that are happening in this area.
What concerns me is support groups that are inviting naturopaths or natural therapists, pharmacies that are selling everything that they know don't work, and even private health organisations who give rebates for some of these quack. Is there anything we can do to ask them to, you know, encourage them to be a bit more responsible in what they're offering for people?
Well, I can't speak for the pharmacists. They have to speak for themselves, I guess. I do find it a bit annoying that when I'm a member of a health fund, I have to pay for people to go to have treatments that are unproven. I mean, for example, the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, which the government's funded scheme for medicines in this country, only allows drugs onto it that have been very thoroughly proven in controlled trials to be beneficial. But the sort of treatments that are supported by the health funds, which in turn get quite a lot of support from the government, don't have to be proven to be effective. It's a kind of double standard.
Well, why is the media even free to promote all this unproven rubbish? And even the practitioners that are so poorly trained and unregulated, but they're everywhere on the media, they're everywhere you turn.
It's big business.
Yes, well, I mean, it's really nice to know that there's a program, this program, that gives the other side of the coin, but obviously anyone who goes around saying they've got the cure for cancer is going to be listened to because it makes such a... it's the sort of thing everybody wants to hear, so that a lot of these people know exactly how to get the media attention. One of the problems is that the standard of journalism is medical journalism is extremely variable. There are some very high standard medical journalists, that, both on television and in newspapers, but at the other side of the spectrum, it seems to me that medical reporting sometimes seems to be given to the most junior reporter who has no sort of background knowledge.
And I suppose we should ask the question, we think we know the answer, but is there a cure for cancer?
Well, there is for some kinds of cancer, undoubtedly. Yes, indeed. Mm. I mean, involving either surgery or radiotherapy or chemotherapy or some combination of these. I mean, for example, I mean, one of the most dramatic examples is in childhood leukemia, which 50 years ago was a death sentence, and now 85 to 90% of children who get leukemia can be cured. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I've already mentioned, is about 50% curable. Breast cancer now, if it's diagnosed at an early stage, as it seems Loretta's was, is 85 to 90% curable. But on at the other end of the scale, we've got lung cancer like Jim Bacon had, and pancreatic cancer and so on, where there's only been a small amount of a progress made in the last few years. But nonetheless, there's a lot of promise on the horizon, and I think Loretta quoted a figure of 1% improvement in survival per year for the last 15 years or so, which I think probably is correct overall. There's certainly now more than half the patients who get cancer can expect to survive it.
Well, in the year 2000, I've got a figure here of 64%, which I think is really amazing. Yeah, so I'm pleased about that.
Professor, we really appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for giving us some input on the program.
Thanks for inviting me along, Tony. I appreciate it.
Okay. And thank you very much.
Good night, Loretta.
Cheers now. Professor Ray Lowenthal there, Director of Medical Oncology at Royal Hobart and a clinical professor at the University of Tasmania. And we're here in the studio with the Jelly Bean Lady, Loretta Marin. Our telephone number is 13 13 32. We've got the news coming up. A fascinating man, isn't he?
Absolutely. And he likes my website. Can I mention the name of that?
Of course.
www.healthinformation, that's one word, .com.au. And I've actually got quite a lot of stuff on there about alternate cancer cures and what's to watch out for. Because people, when they are diagnosed, they'll try anything.
Indeed.
And good information is hard to find, but they can look on the website and there it is.
And she's back again next week, the Jelly Bean Lady. Look out for it. Look out for that website. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next week.
I look forward to it.